हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करभावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so Bhaktisandarbha, Adhyayana 2, Adhikarana 2, Bhakti is transcendental to the three modes, Nirguna. Right? So then the Acharya had mentioned, though some think that liberation is the Lord's mercy, it actually arises from sattva guna. The idea comes from the person's imagination, right? So just as the fruitive worker, then he may worship the Lord and thus attain his, you know, material facility that he's looking for. And so because he worshiped the Lord and the Lord has reciprocated, then he'll consider that the Lord's mercy. And yes, it is the Lord's kindness that he's interacted with the living entity, but it's not the actual mercy. Real mercy means then coming to the platform of devotional service and then progressing in devotional service, right? Giving up any inclination or attachment towards karma jnana. That's actual mercy. So that's why he says that idea comes from the person's imagination. That's not real mercy. Right. Kaivalya jnana has this nature. It arises from a relationship with sattva guna. Right? So it's connected with sattva, as I mentioned before. It's like the highest platform you can get on sattva guna. So now the doubt comes up. Shamshaya. Quote, the internal and external senses of a human are made of the gunas. How can bhakti, which engages these senses, be near guna, right? Because it's dealing with them, their idea, it has to be contaminated. Of course, they're not looking at, Uttara. The Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti do not, in a principal manner, belong to the gunas, nor to the jiva, since the jiva is dependent on the Lord and cannot act or know independently. Right? So, in a principal manner, Jnana and Kriya don't belong to the gunas. They may work with the gunas as secondary, because they're not primary, they're not part of the Jnana and Kriya Shaktis, they're internal potency. And so they're going to be functioning through the transformation, right, of what's happening here. So things here are transformed from the internal to the external. Things are working here. So the Jnana and Kriya Shaktis, then they're controlling that, you know, as part of as bhakti. And so it's not at all dependent upon the modes. They're the ones using the modes. It's like, because you use the toaster doesn't mean now you are a toaster, right? Right? So then, nor the jiva. So the jnana and kriya don't belong to the jiva either. So it's the internal potency that's allowing, you know, or even the external potency for the materialist that he is, able to have knowledge and have action, right? The jiva, depending on the Lord, cannot act or know independently. So he can neither know what's going on independently or act independently, as we saw in the, I think it's in the second canto, when the creation is happening, then the universal form, when he desires to see, then the eyes, the process of seeing and what can be seen, all those three come into existence. So it's because he's seeing, we're seeing, right? So we're thinking, I'm doing my own thing, God's something else. So no, but our ability to see is coming from him. It's coming through us, and we're able to therefore see. God's seeing everything, and we want to see a particular thing. So God allows us to see that particular thing, you know, that he is, you know, of all the unlimited things he's seeing. So that's why another point, why then you see things in line with the Lord, because your power of seeing is coming from him anyway. Right? The Shakti influences a Jiva just as the Devata strongly influences a Jiva. The Jnana and Kriya Shaktis are the principal qualities of Paramatma. Right? Shakti influences the Jiva, right? The Devata influences the Jiva, so like that. So they're not directly involved, as they have that potency, and that leans on something that leans on something that gets it done. So that's just how the energy works. You know, you have something, you push at this end, you know, the other end moves, you know, and that's doing the work. So you're not technically, it's like, you know, like a spoon, you're holding the spoon. But the spoon is, you know, touching and moving and all that. So, but that you can, you know, by here saying, you know, how can you say it's not engaged in the gunas? But it's just like you're using the spoon. You're not getting burned. You're not touching the pot or the fire, right? The fire is being engaged, but it's touching the pot, and then the vegetables are being softened by the fire, but through the pot. And you're stirring all that through the spoon, you know, like that. And so that's the whole point, is that they have that strongly influences. So the Jnana and Kriya Shaktis are the principal qualities of Paramatma, like we said. So Jnana, that will be the Brahman. Jnana and Kriya, that will be Paramatma. Jnana, Kriya, Icha, that will be Bhagavan. That's why it says Icha is only controlled by Krishna. Right? So even Balaram expands, he takes care of the Kriya, and his expansion takes care of Jnana, so that means he takes care of Jnana and Kriya. So that makes Balaram technically, you know, he is the principle, the base, you know, principle of Paramatma, you know, so his expanding as Mahanarayana, then that Mahanarayana takes care of the whole of the spiritual world, right? So then in Braja, then Balaram takes care. But their whole rest, you know, all the others, then that's done by Mahanarayan, right? So and then Mahanarayan's expanse of the Chaturvyuha, that Sankarshan there, then expands Mahavishnu, who is the Paramatma for the Mahatattva. Then he expands as Garbhadakshay, who's the Paramatma for the universe. And then he expands as Kiradakshai, who's the Paramatma for each individual living entity. So then a quote here, just as unheated iron cannot burn, the body, senses, life, airs, and intelligence move to their objects only when endowed with consciousness by the Lord. The Lord allows the Jiva who can see in walking and dream states to see him, by endowing him with Chit Shakti, Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16:24. Right? So, I'm not sure I moved that. Yeah, no, I did. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, okay. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada, red hot iron can burn, but it cannot burn the original fire. Therefore, the consciousness of the small particle of Brahman is fully dependent on the power of the Supreme Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita, you know, so that's the example of the iron and the fire. So Krishna is the fire, and the iron, if it's in the fire, then it becomes red hot like the iron. But it's not that it can burn or has power or something independent from the fire. It's only because it's in the fire, it's red hot. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Matas smritir jnanam apohanam cha, Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Quote, from me, the conditioned soul receives memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness, end quote. The power for activities come from the Supreme Lord. And when the Lord withdraws this power, the conditioned soul no longer has energy with which to act through his various senses. The body includes 5 knowledge acquiring senses, 5 active senses, and the mind. But actually, these are merely lumps of matter, right? More gross and more subtle. So that's the point, but they're still lumps of matter. For example, the brain is nothing but matter. But when electrified by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, The brain can act just as iron can burn when made red hot by the influence of fire. The brain can act while we are awake or even while we are dreaming. But when we are fast asleep or unconscious, right? Since the brain is a lump of matter, it does not have independent power by which to act, right? So people say, you know, you have the brain, so therefore then that's where, that's the soul, or that's here, you know, where consciousness is from and that. But as we see here is that, you know, if you're in deep sleep, the brain's not active. And so it can't perceive anything or anything like that. So that it's dependent upon the consciousness of the Supreme Lord. So when the Supreme Lord then endows it with the then we can appreciate and then see things and use the brain. So that's the point, is we're not independent. We give ourselves too much credit for what we do, or the material energy so much credit that you just there, and by the combination and life comes up and then the brain and everything happens. But we see is that you want to be more smart, but it's not that because you want, then your brain becomes more smart. You know, you have your intelligence and that's what you have this life. You know, if you want and you work nicely and do, you know, the various things, learning the Vedic mantras or learning mantras in general, then it improves the memory power and things like that. But because you've done that activity that's recommended in the Vedas, therefore then, you know, memory increases, and in the future life, then you may have a better memory because you used it nicely this lifetime. But it's still dependent on the Supreme Lord. Since the brain is a lump of matter, it does not have independent power which to act. Can only act when favored by the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Brahman or part of Brahman. This is the way to understand how the Supreme Brahman, Krishna, is present everywhere. Just as the sunshine is present because of the sun god and the sun globe, the Supreme Lord is called Hrishikesha. He is the only conductor of the senses. Unless empowered by his energy, our senses cannot act. In other words, he is the only seer, the only worker, the only listener, and the only active principle or supreme controller. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16-24 purport, right? So he is doing, so it's only because he sees we can see. That's it. You want to see something, then because the Lord is seeing it, therefore you can see it. So by his influence, then the potencies then act, then allow our own senses and mind and intelligence, and, you know, through the action of the brain and other features, then we're able to see. But it's because the Lord is seeing it and he bestows his favor, you know. But, you know, when he says what's favored, but as we pointed out, being favored here, the real favor is then being able to take up devotional service and be able to come to him and develop love for him. That will be real favor. These other things are just, you know, yeah, they're not so. Then another verse. Pranasya prana uta chakshushas chakshur uta shrotras ya shrotam manaso mana. The Lord is the prana, the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, and the mind of the mind. Kena Upadashad 1:2. Na rite tat kriyate kim cha nare. Without the Lord, nothing can be done. Rig Veda. The internal and external senses are said to be composed of the gunas, because of prominence of actions in the three gunas. By prominence of the Supreme Lord through jnana and kriya shaktis, the senses are beyond the gunas. Sukadeva says, yad yujyate su vasu karma mano vacho bhir dehat maja dishu nidibhis tad asat pritak tvat. Ter eva sad bhavati yad kriyate pritak tvat Sarvasya tad bhavati mula nines. No, mula nishechanam yat. Utilizing one's prana, wealth, actions, mind, and words for maintaining one's body, sons, and others is not proper, since this endeavor is separate from the Lord. Utilizing these same things for service to the Lord is proper, since the endeavor is not separate from the Lord. This is service to all beings, since it is watering the root. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:9:29. Pritaktavat means taking shelter of someone other than Paramatma. Apritaktvat means taking shelter of Paramatma alone. Thus, it is suitable that bhakti is nirguna, since it functions through the jnana and kriya shaktis of the Lord. Bhakti does not arise from relationship to the gunas, but brahma jnana arises from relationship with the gunas. Bhakti is associated with the Lord's satisfaction and other qualities. Though Kapila speaks of bhakti within the gunas, tamau guna bhaktir, etc., and above the gunas, bhakti is so called only because the gunas of the person's mind, right? So that's why I mentioned before, is that this idea of all these different elements being the Lord's mercy comes from the person's imagination. So in the same way, it's also the idea that the senses and all that are working by the modes. No, they're just being influenced by the main Vijaya Jnana and Kriya Shaktis of the Lord. That's what's making everything function. And so by the Lord's influence, they're happening. So the point is that these things are beyond. So they're talked in that way because that's how the living entity, he's using it in this way. So it'll be classified as tamogun or rajagun or sattvagun. But in actuality, the senses are just doing, they're just doing their function under the control of the Lord, you know, by the desire of the living entity. And so all these different things are separate. So the modes are there because they have that influence on the living entity, you know, on the mind. Because so technically you can say is that the mind is in the modes. And then because of that perception, then you see everything by that. Just like if you wear colored glasses, everything will look that color. Right? So the same way is by that mentality, then everything takes on that feature that is, you know, appreciated, you know, or what, how we're viewing things, because we're appreciating through a particular mode. So then continuing here. Having described bhakti as nirguna by its jnana, it is then described in Bhagavatam as nirguna by its kriya. Because they are related to the Lord, actions like hearing and chanting are under the kriya shakti. Living where the Lord resides is given as an example. Vanam tu satviko vaso gramyo rajasa uchate tamasam jyuta saranam man niketam tu nirgunam. Residence in the forest is in the mode of goodness. Residence in a town is in the mode of passion. Residence in a gambling house displays the quality of ignorance, and residence in a place where I reside is beyond the gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:25-25. Living in the forest refers to the vanaprastha. Living in the town refers to the grihastha. Gambling dens are representative of many such places where sinful people reside. So when you say gambling dens, it's like saying chandalas, and it means all the variety of shankara. So in the same way, when you say gambling den, then that includes, you know, all the places where sinful people reside, right? So reside means to have a place. It's just like, let's say you have a gambling den, you go to one of the big casinos like that. So generally connected with them will be restaurants, will be bars, will be hotels, will be swimming pools, will be, you know, all kinds of things will be connected. So it means all that, it means where they're going there for things. So Grihastha means that they're acting in their ashram and seeing it, you know, in a way that is, will be uplifting, but at the same time as they want to, you know, be comfortable in that position, right? So when you see when it's connected with the Lord, then it goes beyond that. So then, therefore, then the sages living in the forest discussing Krishna, that's beyond the modes, beyond goodness. When the Grihastha, he's doing everything to please Krishna, that's also beyond the modes, right? The abode of the Lord, where persons perform service to the Lord, is beyond the gunas. Vanam is in opposition to the vasaha, like the phrase, ghi is life, meaning ghi causes long life. The forest composed of trees has the predominance of rajas and tamas. Sattva becomes the secondary guna of the forest because of the mixture with the two other gunas, which are more prominent. Though living a solitary life there is sattvic. But since staying in the forest arises from sattva and increases sattva, living in the forest is regarded as having a prominence of sattva, right? So he's pointing out is that this is how these things work, is that it's the trees are in ignorance, right? Everything around is in ignorance. But because, and there's that little bit of rajas because they're trying to grow and expand and, you know, be happy, you know, with the wind blowing through the leaves and, you know, this kind of stuff. So, but the human living there, then that is, you know, living that kind of solitary life, that is then sattvic. So then staying in the forest arises from sattva, right? Means in other words, sattva is the duty. So one does that. So therefore then that increases sattva. And so that's why you say living in the forest is regarding having a prominence of sattva, because that's its effect on you. But for the animals, it's just ignorance. It's just passion and ignorance. That's all it is. Gramyaha means living in the town. Gambling means living in places where there is gambling. Similarly, quote, my abode, end quote, means a place where the Lord lives. That place is nirguna because of the power of being related to the Lord, like a touchstone. Thus the eyes and other senses become nirguna by contact with the Lord. Right, so then the holy dham, everything is nirguna because it's connected with the Lord. So then if the eyes and senses are connected to the Lord, they also take on that nirguna quality. Thus it is said, Divishtas tatra pashyanti saravan eva chatur bhujan. The devatas see that persons living in the Lord's abode of Puri have four arms, Brahma, Purana. Sridhar comments, the abode of the Lord is nirguna because it is the place of his appearance, end quote. Right, so the connection with the Lord is what makes everything glorious. So that always has to be seen. You can't just take it for granted. Oh yeah, it's done. And then move on. You always have to see, you know, that it's going nicely, right? You know, you don't just charge your phone and then that's it eternally. No, you keep it going. You keep it nicely maintained. Riti, the next Anucheda illustrates. Yes, please.
So basically, most of the confusions arises because the jnana, kriya, and icha shaktis are, you know, functioning in the within the tatastha shakti also, and they, because they superimpose that it's their own thing that is making everything in the creation function, because of which then all the confusions arises within the jiva's mind.
Yes, because he just sees that it's working there. He doesn't understand its connection beyond. Because it means nothing exists without Krishna. He is existence, so you can't have even the material world without him. So he has to be pervading it. You know, it is him, and you know, his you know, as Paramatma, then he's aware of it, he's controlling it, so the jnana and kriya are then functioning because of him. So that's the point, is that it's our mind that we see things separate from the Lord, that we think the material world functions on its own, or, you know, if we see it as an inferior thing, then we want to bring out the aspects of what, what do you call it? Yeah, that, you know, that it has that material aspect, but it's only our perception of it. It's just inferior nature, that's all. It's not material as such, you know, because Maya is controlling it. She's the servant of Krishna, right? You know, so that's the point. And Yoga Maya is who transforms this Mahamaya. You know, mm-hmm. Sada Shiva becomes Shambhu. And so like that, then the things are working. But yeah, it's because of that closeness, then people mistake that it's there.
Also, when here it's mentioned about Kapiladeva was mentioning about this bhakti in mode of passion, ignorance, and goodness.
Because that means the mentality of the person acting is in those modes. Therefore, they're going to get reactions based on those modes along with the bhakti being performed. So when he performs it, you know, when he performs bhakti with attachment to not be too disturbed by the material energy, that'll be goodness, you know. When he has that mood of separatism, that and he will, you know, enjoy or control the material energy, then that'll be passion. And then when, you know, his service is then being, or his actions and viewpoint is being controlled by his envy, you know, and hatred and all that, that'll be ignorance. So then, you know, they're getting, because they're working in that. So we'll call it that as bhakti, because they're getting that effect. But bhakti is always independent. Yeah, but that's also a very good point.
Yeah, also that, as Kapila Muni mentions about this, and the very aspect of Sankhya is that we separate ourselves from the 24 elements of material existence and connect towards the spiritual. So, I mean, this connection with bhakti, trying to connect our consciousness to the Supreme, will have this weakness initially, definitely. That mixing with karma and jnana, that's why it is, because why I'm asking this is many times it becomes very difficult for devotees to accept that, you know, the fault is in me and everything that is happening bad. Even after the beginning practice of bhakti, is because of our own shortcomings of trying to take shelter of external energy. So you know, sometimes some devotees have this question that, okay, why not, like, you know, bhakti, we just straightforward, why these complications of karma, mishra, jnana, mishra, bhakti, this, that, bhakti is bhakti, devotees. And I don't want to make these distinctions, categorizations, but unless we make it, then we can't realize whether we are progressing ahead.
Well, I mean, it'll be the as you're saying, the identity. So that's the point, is we're an individual, and identity is there to act. But when identity, you know, takes on external qualities, its effects will also then be external. So, their ideas, I'm always right, or I'm professional, or I'm educated, or I was, the best in my school. So how can it be my fault? So it's just the false ego. That's all. Because they can say, why should bhakti, bhakti is straightforward, simple, keep it simple and all that. That's nice. Okay. You keep it simple. As long as, in your application, in devotional service, you're keeping everything else simple. But I do believe that, they were having discussions and PowerPoint presentations with all the breakdowns of how you can be successful in your management. So then that means then, why is it you get into details there and not in bhakti? That's because you identify, you're still identifying with those external activities and you want them to be successful. But bhakti, you just take it sentimentally. So in other words, use your intelligence when it comes to your practical activities, that connected with your external identity. But when it comes to bhakti, then it's just the mind and some sentiment, which is nice. It's connected to Krishna, but it's not at all matching. One claims to be so qualified, but then you're only qualified on the material platform. Spiritual then is a different thing. We have to see is that they're, you can engage them. It's just like this. It's just like that person makes the mistake that, yes, I had a fancy, high powered car. Therefore, I'm either a great person or I am a great driver or any things like that. When no, it's the car has that ability, but it doesn't mean that it automatically you have it. Somehow you had the influence to get it. But that doesn't mean you're good at business, you have money, you can buy the car. It doesn't mean you can drive, or that, anybody really cares, So, yeah, no, there'll be that thing. So that's why then this element, that's why one of the first points is we're not the body, we're the soul. Because that's the identity. Because we're taking it, no, I'm intelligent, I'm qualified, I'm this and that. So therefore, so that's an identity. But no, that's not our identity. Our identity is dasana, dasana, das. That's the identity. And because the identity is changed, that's why we're here. That's why we have difficulty, we have problems, is because the identity is wrong. But you identify with material nature, you get the response from the material nature. You identify as a devotee, then you get the devotional response, like that. So we take, the problem is the view is too much on the jnana and kriya shaktis, right? Spiritual means the focus is on icha as the primary and jnana and kriya as the secondary on ways to arrange for Krishna's pleasure, right? And it's not that we're in control of them, it's the circumstances there. Okay, this situation can give rise to serving Krishna in this way, so then they take advantage of doing that service because they want to please Krishna. So here's an opportunity to express that, so they take that, right? And so then but in the material world, for the soul who's left Krishna, the Bahir Mukti, he has turned his face from Krishna. So it's not about Krishna's Icha. They want to be the Lord. So it's about their own Icha. So as Icha is the thing that controls Jnana and Kriya, and it's outcomes and all that. Therefore, then when we take up that position that it's about our desire, then we think the Jnana and Kriya is, so the primary is our desire, jnana and kriya is secondary. So if something goes wrong, then it's got to be the jnana and kriya and whatever it's connected with, some other people, some circumstances, some economic thing. We'll never look at it that it's the primary, that it's our desire and our identity. That's the problem. So that's what it comes down to. It's a disease, and the living entity has to be comfortable with discussing that if they want to get over to the disease. It's just like, you know, the cliche of the big strong guy, and somebody's telling him he's sick. No, because he's big and strong, he can never be sick. So therefore, he just goes on an illusion if he's not. Everybody can see he's sick, but he, in illusion, says, no, I'm fine, I'm this, that. And no one wants to argue with him. So it's, yeah, go ahead, why not? You know? So that's the thing, is that if you actually want, then you have to be open to, yeah, okay, these mistakes are there. But the mistake in viewing it in this way, it's about how to improve the bhakti, not pointing out the mistakes and then someone agreeing with it and then now using that for your own political and economic benefits. No, because that's just politics. You know, so that's the thing, is because that's where we see, is that the devotee may engage politics to do his service. You know, so the religion, in other words, his religious platform, you know, is there. These are the activities. So as part of that, as a subset, he may use the political field to perform his service. Like you see, like the Pandavas, they're devotees of the Lord. As devotees, they've taken up the position of Kshatriyas. So therefore, they do their Kshatriya duties as the expression of the that primary of their love for Krishna. And within a subset of the dharma of the Kshatriya duties, then politics is one of the tools they can use. So they may use that and be diplomatic in dealing with Duryodhana and his brothers and all that. But it's not their main thing. It's pleasing Krishna. They're only doing to please Krishna. But let's say Duryodhana, now he does it the other way around. For him, politics is his field. And he wants his benefits in there. So he only uses dharma in as much as it gets him artha. So that's why we see on the opening of the Gita, then he's talking to Bhishma and Drona and all the, you know, the leading people there, you know, pushing the point of dharma, you know, do their duties. And, you know, you're a Kshatriya and you can't be attached and more favorable to the Pandavas and things like that. You have to do your duty as a Kshatriya and be equal poise. And he's talking all these lofty ideals, but it's only to get his own purpose. Right? And so one could complain and say, no, but Yudhishthira is only trying to get his also, but his is in line with Krishna. He's trying to please Krishna. And so therefore he's using, well, Duryodhana is just trying to please himself. So that's the point, is when you point out to Duryodhana that he's wrong, he can never understand it. Same with Karna, you know, never understand it. You know, you just have, twice, I think it is. Yeah, twice where he was like, no, three times, where he was very straightforward, down to earth. Once is in that discussion with Kunti when she revealed that he's the eldest son. There's a moment there, and then he goes back into his, you know, false identity. Then when they're leaving and all that, before that, just after that, then Krishna comes, and then he understands, he knows all these things. But he's going to go with Duryodhana because he protected, he took care and all that, rather than, here's an opportunity to function in dharma. In other words, if Karna at that time had taken and go, oh, okay, that's my position, and then taken it up, right? Then you would see is that then he would have gone over to the Pandavas, they would accept the elder brother, and now it's all of them against Duryodhana and all that, so that they would have to just capitulate and establish Yudhishthira on the throne. Problem solved. But, you know, you have 640 million people that need to be removed from the gene pool at the time. So that one is that, you know, you get rid of so much demoniac mentality, and also then Kali Yuga could progress, you know, but in a way that can be engaged, you know, nicely in Krishna's service. So all that has to be arranged. You know, so you see, is this happens before us? It's like, what's his name? Moses, right? So Moses is somehow or another, his mother has put him in a basket, and he's floated, you know, down the river a bit, and is picked up by, you know, the queen or the queen's daughter, or, you know, the princess or something like that, and then raised as a member of the royal household, right? And at some point, then he finds out. Right. But you see, is he is a different thing. So he goes, oh, I'm from this. And that's actually a higher principle of, you know, philosophy and religion than what he was living as as an Egyptian. And so then he took that up, and he's famous to this day. Right. As being, you know, a good person, you know, being a leader in the religious line. While Karna, you know, is famous, but he's famous as the guy who, you know, always was inimical with Arjuna, right? You know, he's very charitable and all that. But the point is if he won't connect it to Krishna. I mean, at the end, of course, he gave us, you know, the results of his charity to Krishna. So then, you know, there's going to be that benefit there. But it's, you know, those are the only moments that you see in his whole life where it's very, very, you know, that's over 100 years or whatever it is, you know, because he was before the Pandavas, and Krishna and Arjuna are like equals. That means he would have been older than Yudhishthira. So that means, and, you know, and Krishna was 125 when he, no, well, there's battle of Kurukshetra, then I think it was much earlier. Yeah, but, you know, it puts him at, he's been around for some time, you know. And so he's not a spring chicken, right? So he's had plenty of things, but these are the only times where you see that real clarity, proper clarity, but he doesn't take advantage, you know, like that. So yes, it's there, but it's a fault. It can't be said. It's not just a light fault, it's a major fault, because they're holding on to a false identity. And it's not that they're engaging it nicely in Krishna's service, because opportunities to come up to improve the service, they don't want to learn, right? At the same time as these same groups of people, there's a possibility that they're either going to or organizing, you know, camp, you know, training courses for the devotees. So then it's inconsistent. You know, why is it only on the external platform they're willing to do? And yes, it's service to Krishna, and it could be so much more if they would look into it and see the detail. Otherwise, all they do is, I've got this education, now I'm the big guy, I'm the qualified guy. You know, how could the new bhakta feel that they're qualified to teach history in the yatra? And only them, and not the senior people who actually lead the yatra, inspire everybody, make them a devotee, set the good example. While they don't, but they do it with you know, that they feel, yeah, I did the thing. I'm the pert man. Rather than, you know, how is this? This is nonsense. You know, why is it these other people can't do? So we see is that culturally it'll create problem. We're looking at efficiency, but where do we look? What mentality or what varna looks at efficiency, but not necessarily within culture in the broader sense? You know, they want to maintain their own culture and their own what they value, but they could break down everybody else's to get their results, right? You know, so that's the Vaishya community, that's the bourgeois, so that's the Western mentality, is whatever I can profit, you know. It's like, you know, the bourgeois means they had money, and when they had, you know, as much money or more money than the royalty, then their point was, we have the money, why do you still control? We have the money, we should control also, right? So, but no, is that the royalty is supposed to control based on the benefit of the public, while the bourgeois wants to control for their own benefit. They don't care for the public. The public is just a forum for making profit. That's all. Right? So that's the problem. It's a it's a corporate mentality. And since this corporate mentality, you know, has been cultivated for some time now, you know, within the circle of devotees, then now we're seeing that's an effect of that. Of course, it's going to be there. Every living entity thinks that they're the center of attention, the control and enjoyer. So if anything goes wrong, it's someone else's fault. They have that inherent fault there because they make themselves that the Ichashakti goes around them. But what these things just aggravate it more. You know, it's like if you have a sunburn, you go sit out in the sun, it just makes it worse. It doesn't mean that if you sit in the shade, you don't have a sunburn. It just means it won't get worse. It'll slowly, slowly get better. So when you bring in these corporate views, then it just aggravates these, you know, the false ego and the illusion that I'm doing all these things and I'm so intelligent and all that. Actually, like we're seeing here, is that it's all coming from Krishna. Krishna's the potency that makes it all happen. So you use it nicely for Krishna, then Krishna will engage you like that, you know, because Krishna doesn't have a sense. It's the whole creation's his. The whole thing can be used for him. Therefore, he has no problem in people using various aspects of the creation to serve him, right? Dhruva Maharaj, Kshatriya, he wanted a kingdom bigger than his father's. You know, but then when he actually became proper in his mentality, he just wanted pure devotion, but the Lord still reciprocated by giving him a kingdom bigger than his father's, right? Because now he'll use it nicely in the Lord's service. So it's not a problem that these things are there. You know, those who are too much controlled by the concept of liberation, you know, or that, then, oh no, but these things are there. They shouldn't be doing these things. It's too much trouble, or they're too much attached to, you know, the, you know, Gram Yaha, that, you know, these things are our facilities. Only we should have them. Why they should have them? You know, if they have them means we don't have them. So if we take it away from them, we'll have it, which doesn't work anyway, you know. So, you know, then it comes down to envy. And attachment. So then, you know, envy and attachment means passion and ignorance. Envy is ignorance, attachment's passion. So these always come up as the problems. You know. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. Vritti. The next anucheda illustrates the performers of action based on the modes. It underscores that individuals who completely take refuge in the Lord transcend the influence of the three modes. Anucheda 136. Having described the Lord's abode as spiritual, all the activities related to the Lord are described as spiritual. Sattvika, Karako Sangi, Ragandho Rajasas Mitaha. Tamasas smiti vibrashto nirguno mad apashrayaha. A performer of action who is free of attachment is in sattva. A performer of action overcome by sense objects is in rajas. And a performer of action who is devoid of inquiry is in tamas. Okay, well, that also answers your question. They don't want to know about this, so that's the mode of ignorance. That's all. So, and, you know, they want to be very good in all the other things they do and be recognized for that. So that's rajas. You can say it's duties we're using for Krishna, you know, but because of the overcome by the passion and ignorance, it will be devotional service. You will progress because devotion is so, bhakti is so powerful, you'll be dragged forward. But it will be dragging because of the passion and ignorance that one is committed to. But a performer of action who has taken shelter of me alone is beyond the gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:25-26. So bhakti itself is beyond the gunas. We're getting that benefit of beyond the gunas. That's why we're advancing. But our own identity and situation may still be within the modes. That's the thing, is that we're still situated there when we could be situated beyond that and still engage it. Because you're going to engage something. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:25-26. The meaning is that the activities take up the gunas by the mentality of the agent rather than objects involved, right? So it's not that the things involved are specifically what define it, you know, in the modes like that. It's the agent, the mentality of the agent. So if the mentality of the agent changes, it changes. So that's why we see is that you're having the same thing. Action free from attachment is sattva. Action overcome by attachment is passion. Action devoid of inquiry, you know, why is this? Why am I here? You just go along like an animal. That's tamas, right? But what action is being done with the idea to do for Krishna, then that becomes beyond the guna. So we can see is the action may be exactly the same in all four cases. But there's a difference depending upon the mentality of the agent and what is their involvement. So that's why it's called in these modes, because the agent is in those modes. The body of the person with the mentality of sattva develops sattva, transforming the lower gunas, right? So when they do those things, sattva transforms. So when you do it in nirguna, then it transforms. That's the idea, is that whatever it is, then it takes on those qualities. Vritti. Having explained that all actions related to the Lord are nirguna, next it is elucidated that faith, the cause of action, is also nirguna if it is related to the Lord, right? So that's why then there's so much focus on the nine stages of bhakti. Or devotional service coming up to prema, then is based on faith, right? And then the first, the first four stages, then it will be kamal shraddha, or the delicate faith, because there's still so much identification and attachment to the externals of the gross and subtle elements of the body and identity. And the benefits. Well, then the next from 5 to 9, those five, then that will be considered more favorable because of the fixed devotion. I mean, how the faith is fixed on that devotional service is the only process, and so that matures from being like a neutral state that one's fixed in it nicely to one, then by that regularly, because it develops taste and develops attachment, and then develops ecstasy, and then that then matures into prema. Okay, then his quote, sattvikya hyatmiki shraddha karma shraddha tu rajasi. Tamas yadharame yashraddha mad sevayam tu nirguna. Faith in Atma is in sattva. Faith in prescribed karma is in rajas. Faith in irreligious activities is in tamas. But faith in my devotional service is beyond the gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:25-27. A dharma means inferior dharma, right? So that's the, I'd say. Yeah, inferior dharma. Because we see in Manamoy, then you're going to be performance, acknowledging that, yes, it's the Lord's laws. You follow them, you do your duties. Then you'll get benefits, you'll get your elevation of the heavenly planets or nice material facilities while you're here or both, like that. So then that will be rajas because you want the material benefit. So doing duties but with desire for the gain is going to be rajas, but doing the duty without desire for the gain, that, nishkarmya, that's going to be sattva, right? And then being irreligious, then he's saying activities that are lower, inferior dharma. So we see in Bhagavatam, it's talking about Kaitava Dharma or anything lower than, you know, Dharma based on the Shastras. And as a external principle, and then what is not connected to the Lord as the main. So the main point of adharma means what's dharma is devotional service. What's not in relation to the Lord, that's adharma. So that means all pious activities and positions in the material world are adharmic. But if you look at that then more closely, then okay, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Dharma and moksha, that will be taken as higher dharma, and artha kama, that will be inferior dharma. So then also, again, the modern, you know, bourgeois element that it's all focused on artha and kama, then it's inferior, so technically it's a dharma. So bringing, saying that, oh, we're Westerners, so therefore we should do this, then takes on that weakness that then they're using inferior dharma or the mode of faith and the mode of ignorance. You know, oh, we can't do all that. That's not for us because we have our own benefits to get. So we do this. So therefore, you know, that you want a result from it. That's the passion, but it's based rooted in a dharma. So it's actual main thing. It's mentality is the mode of ignorance because one's not inquiring into the higher realms and how that affects the soul and all these different things. So, it becomes it's a weak platform. It's so it's not that is a platform or a recommended platform. It's the wrong platform. It's not at all. Okay, the Lord spoke thus. What are we doing? 57. Okay, Anucheda 138. Shuddham in the following verse means nirguna, right? Because sometimes you see. Shuddha, because Vishuddha Sattva then is, you know, nirguna, while Sattva is within the gunas. But here then it's being explained, so then it's Shuddham means actual pure. In other words, it's pure, but then there's actual pure. So there's ignorance, passion, you know, goodness and actual goodness, you know, unmixed, right? Dharmam Bhagavatam Shuddham Trivedyam cha gunashrayam. Ajamil heard about the pure nirguna, dharma, approved by the Lord from the servants of Vishnu, and the impure dharma recommended in the three Vedas from the servants of Yama. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.2.24. So we're seeing here impure dharma. So therefore it means we're just talking just as a platform, then artha and kama are already a lower platform that we're not going to situate. It has to be following God's laws. So it has to be, you know, according to how he says things should happen. But at the same time, is if it's not connected to him, then it's still material. So then only it becomes nirguna. So we see is that you're both simultaneously making that the devotional service is superior. And we see is that you're going in a direction that if you're going from, I'm performing, you know, artha and kama for my own benefit, better than that is dharma, in which you're performing your duties, you know, that is regulating the life and uplifting the consciousness, though it's still, you know, fruitively motivated. But in such a thing, at least you come to a next level of consciousness, so that's better. But then better than that is to perform those duties because you should, without attachment, then that becomes Naishkarmya, you know, or Nishkam Karma, Yoga, Nishkam Karma. And so that's better because you see they're moving in the direction of bhakti means it's, you're only doing it for Krishna's pleasure. So it goes beyond just, I'm doing the duties without attachment. I'm doing it to please Krishna for his benefit. So it takes on the positive. So Naishkarmya is still, in a neutral state. Right? Is that okay? Yeah, we're good.
Okay, so
end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.